Oh, g'day, Adelaide. Welcome to a beautiful Tuesday. Oh.
Is it?
It's beautiful.
Look at it's shocking.
Oh, what a day. What a bloody magnificent day, because I've got my beautiful people around me and the Rush Hour family. Greg Blewett, good afternoon to you.
Hello, Jazz.
G'day, Burn Burn.
Howdy doody, Jazz. It's on a beautiful day out there. It's as black as a dog's guts. Sorry.
And Emma G, welcome.
Yeah, welcome, Jazz. You're up and about.
Please stay safe on the roads. We've had a bit of a tinkle of rain.
A what?
Tinkle? Do you mean a sprinkle?
A tinkle?
Or a tinkle?
A tinkle.
Oh, we're on, baby. We're on.
Turn your lights on.
Yes, Greg.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then what happens when you get home?
Turn your brain on. And turn your brains on.
My car does that automatically, Jazz.
Mercedes.
And the BMW.
Mercedes.
Honestly, Greg.
I bet your wife does as well, Jazz.
No, I'm not. Now, listen. We got a wonderful guest coming up very shortly.
Probably our biggest guest we've had.
And our best interview.
And that is...
Yeah.
Well, I apologise, family, if you don't hear me in this interview.
Well, you've got something on, have you, in the next 15 minutes?
What have you got on? Tell us now.
You're going to see management after yesterday's, upsetting news regarding the grand final.
No, let's be honest. You've cracked it and you said you're not doing it.
Yet.
So I would want to see you in this interview with Patrick Cripps.
I need to see the boss.
No, well, you better be in this. Otherwise, I'm leaving as well.
He's a good boy too.
Yeah, he is.
So well done. And also, we're going to catch up with Kevin O'Keefe.
Yes.
Burn about a charity ride that he needs support for.
Yeah, well, he was involved in a collision which saw Neil Saxey end up a quadriplegic.
Back in 1975.
Playing for Footscray.
Yeah.
And they've started up a foundation, the Neil Saxey Centre Foundation, and they're raising money. So they're going to ride from Clare to the York Peninsula, Wallaroo, and then they're doing a lap up and around, going down south as well. It's over 3 days.
So if you're
a keen rider, listen in about 5:35. We're going to interview him.
Did we all watch the funeral last night?
Yes, we did.
I stayed up. I watched the entire thing until 1:30.
I got emotional.
It was very touching.
I did as well.
I love the Queen.
I did as well. The military, how'd they describe military precision?
Yeah.
Like they were just shuffling all at the same time, marching all nice and
over
slow.
Over 3,000 type soldiers.
Yeah. Very somber.
Unreal.
More than 4 billion people watched it.
So I've got a question. I spoke to Abby about this last night. We didn't know the answer. Why are the young blokes holding the coffin, the pallbearers? What are they? Who are they?
Well, it'd be an honour. They must be her, you know, really high up.
But they're young. They're all young. That's what I couldn't work out.
Mm.
Well, it's a very heavy, it's a lead-lined coffin.
Yeah.
It's probably extremely heavy.
Yeah,
so they needed people that were strong to hold it.
Four on each side. Jeez, but I was thinking, why them? If you know, text us 0488 51047, because I need to settle this.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's a good one.
Hey, just quickly too, congratulations to SA's own Shelley Nitschke, who is now the Australian National Women's Coach for cricket.
How good's that?
Yeah, so she took over from Maddie Mott, so she did a bit of an interim role, probably for the last 3 or 4 months, but today she was announced as Australian coach of the girls' team or the women's team for the next 4 years. So well done,
Shelley.
Well
done.
Yeah, good.
South Australian girl.
Absolutely.
We got some great coaches here in this state.
Mm.
I'm telling you right now, Gregory.
Well, we're in the room with one.
Not
really. You told me to say that when you bring it up.
I need a spot because there's an individual in this establishment that I need to address.
Oh, man, you're looking at
Something's happened.
Oh, no.
All right? Is it me?
And we know the pillars of our show.
Yeah.
Mm.
All right.
What are they?
I beg your pardon.
Come on,
Triple M's Rush Hour.
Come on,
with Bernie, Bluey, and Jazz getting you home.
Our next guest requires no introduction, but he sure as hell deserves one.
Cripps bursts through centre forward. Inspiring play by the Blues.
Patrick Cripps kicked the goal the Blues need. He can.
Cripps controlled it beautifully.
Paddy Cripps, as you said, Hamish, he looked at Marshall and said, "You're not going to tackle me."
Cripps, the skipper, onto the left. Outstanding.
P. Cripps. The 2022 Brownlow Medal is Patrick Cripps of the Carlton Football Club.
Please welcome to Triple M's Rush Hour 2022 Brownlow Medalist, Patrick Cripps.
Yes, we do. We welcome Paddy Cripps to the Rush Hour on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. And Paddy, how's the last 48 hours been, mate? Because it's a whirlwind and I heard you were pretty good in the after party.
Yeah, it was. Well, you don't get nights like this too often, so you got to make the most of them. But it was great. It was a great night. We had family over as well, so the boys on the table all night were definitely having a good night. So once I got up, we made the most of it, and yesterday was a tough day, but it's all worth it.
What time did you pull up stumps? Because I saw you do an interview the next morning, and you looked a little bit seedy.
Yeah, well, they started at 6. I didn't have much time. We ended up going pretty large, so I got to about 5, and I was like, I'm just going to stay up here and went through. But from 6 to 11, I'd interviews flat out, so yeah. I'm not going to lie, it's probably the longest 5 hours of my life.
Pat, was one of the great counts. Talk us through the last round. Were you confident of getting the 3 votes because it was that
losing
gut-wrenching game against Collingwood that you lost? You obviously had a great game, but how confident of you getting the 3 votes, or did you think it was going to be a tie in the end?
Yeah, it was. It's always unknown. I knew I had a good game. I was pretty lucky in the last game. There's a medal that got presented for the Peter Mac, so I won that. So I was in my head, I'd be like, it's going to be stiff if I don't get the 3 here. Yeah, but you never know on Brownlow night. And there was a few guys ahead of me. I think Tuke and Lockie were ahead of me. And when they didn't get a vote, or it's only too clear, ideally it would be nice to get the 2 and share with Lockie. He's a good mate of mine. But when I got called out, it was sort of when I was up on the stage, it probably hit me. It's just like you're in front of the whole crowd, and it's just, you see the Brownlow, it's like, far out, I've won this. So, it was cool, mate. It was an amazing sort of moment.
And you talk about that busy 5 hours with media after. Talk us through the embrace with your family, because I saw a little video today where you got to hug them and behind closed doors, and it just looked emotional. It looked raw. It was just a great moment.
Yeah, I said in my speech, sort of family's been the backbone of, you know, what you do. They were there, and I think the parents had been definitely tucked in for a few hours. They were well past my level, that's for sure. But
hydrated?
Yeah, they were very hydrated. But they've done so much for me over my journey, and you just realise in those moments, although I won the award, how much it actually impacts people around you, and mates back home, and with my brother, older brothers back home. It's because the count was so thrilling. A lot of people sort of video at the moment, and some of the videos I've got through are absolutely hilarious. But when you watch back on that, it's pretty emotional.
Paddy, talk us about home. Northampton, which is just outside of, I think it's 3 hours outside of Perth, but talk us about your upbringing, and were you always a footballer? Were there other sports involved, and why are there so many good AFL players that come out of Northampton?
Small little town.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's we're only a town of 800 people, and anyone that's grown up in the country, they realise that, you know, footy clubs or sporting clubs are sort of the heartbeat of the town, so all of us are really proud. But yeah, we've got a lot of players from there, and I played a lot of sports growing up, and I think that really helped. Played the winter sports, the summer sports, but basically anything you could do to play with your mates, we did. And yeah, grew up there on a farm, just out of Northampton. So it's a special upbringing. Being on a farm, you grow up pretty quick. You get to do a lot of stuff outdoors, and my parents are both really active people. So I had a fair bit of fun growing up, and I was lucky enough to get opportunity to go to boarding school when I was 12. And that's a different challenge in itself. You sort of move out of home and go to the big smoke, and but then you realise when you get to Melbourne, mate, Perth's only a little country town as well. So I had a great upbringing.
Hey, talk us through. We touched on the Collingwood game last round, but looking back, you needed to only win one game of the last 4. Now, some of the great teams that that win multiple premierships go through tough times. How was it after the week after that last loss? Because obviously, very disappointing.
Yeah, mate, it was pretty hollow. I suppose the build up to that last game, 90,000. I'd never played in a final, but you talk to everyone, it has a finals like atmosphere, with the Pies had to win to be top 4 as well. So just chatting to a few people in footy, they sort of said it was sort of like a prelim final loss in a way. You sort of get so close, but you're not there. But the first week was tough, and now it's sort of been a bit more time sort of reflected. It's sort of footy's got tough way of teaching you some tough lessons. So although we didn't quite get there, it just shows you we're not quite there yet. But those lessons we've learnt in the last few games when we're so close, that only drives and motivates the group, but also a lot of stuff we've got to work on in the preseason. So Although we didn't get there, those last two games gives me a lot of confidence going into next year. What can you can achieve when you see both those teams playing finals.
Hey, you mentioned there you haven't played a final as captain now, sole captain. Would you like? Are you a big believer of? First of all, do you attend the grand final? And secondly, do you want your fellow teammates to go along and just say, you know, look at it and go, this is what we could do, or you know, see the people that win it, the feeling they go through, because as a player, I liked going to see that, even though I didn't get to do it in the end.
Yeah, I'll be lucky. I'll be going to the game for sure. I try and go to everyone I can. It's just it's an amazing day, but yeah, it's sort of like in a way where I suppose you watch the two best teams that year and how hard they are to get there, but I think just looking at the atmosphere and in a way sort of visualise yourself being out there in that moment and what you'd do. But I think a fair few of the guys are going this year. It's it'll be a cracker game. Obviously the grand final hasn't been in Melbourne for a few years. Yeah. So I'll be there for sure. It's you can't help but be jealous when you watch it, but at the same time, it does motivate you going into the next year.
Yeah, it's one of the great days. Paddy, talk us through your pre-season, because you've been one of the elite players now for a number of seasons, but certainly at the start of this season, you just looked like you were moving a lot better than you have in the last few.
Yeah, no, I had a big off-season. I was lucky enough last year to get back to WA before COVID hit Melbourne again, and I was probably coming off the back of a couple of disappointing years for myself. Thought I was still playing decent footy, but I knew I could play better, and I was locked in and had a real detailed plan and was really determined to put as much work as I could. And you talk to anyone that's had a good year, they know their off-season sets up their pre-season, and then if you can get a clean run, you can carry a lot of momentum through. And I was lucky enough to do that and had a few games early in the year that played some really good footy, and confidence levels got back up, and we're winning games of footy, which we started the year, I think, 8-2, and since I've been in the club, we've never been in that position. So it was just good fun, and I just had a lot of fun playing footy this year, mate, and that's what you do it for.
Hey, Paddy, 9 years on the list now. How many coaches have you actually had, and what separates Vossi from the rest?
I think I've had five now in terms of with JB, Johnny Barker took over as the interim. I don't know. Like, I don't really like comparing them, but what I loved about Vossi is just his relationships, and I think he. The coaches he has around him, he's so good at empowering them and allowing them to really coach to their strengths. And I think if you look at a lot of the players this year, not only myself, but I reckon a lot of players in our team had career best years. And I think when you get a new coach in, a lot of players get a new lease of life, especially, I suppose, guys on the borderline of the 22. The previous sort of history can get a fresh start, so their motivation levels go up. And we had a lot of guys play some really good footy this year. And I think as a coach, in terms of our game plan, he gave everyone a role that really tried to maximise their strengths. And I saw a lot of players this year just enjoy their footy and play some really good footy that maximise their strengths. So that's what he's done really well. And I suppose that's the exciting part going into next year. Last year, we're coming from a base where we had a whole new coaching group, and tough year before, where this year, although we had a tough year result-wise, we gained a lot of traction and we're coming from a really much higher base. So, yeah, as much as watching the grand final of the weekend will be tough, I can't wait to actually get stuck in again.
Hey, I loved your speech on the night, completely off the cuff. Even my wife, who doesn't know a lot about AFL, said, I love this guy, the way he talks. But talk us through your relationship with the media, because you remind me of a young Jason Gillespie, who played a lot of cricket for Australia, but he was very shy early and refused to do media, and you were pretty much the same.
Yeah, I was shocking in the early days. I was my first few years. You go from being a country kid to all of a sudden you get a kick and you got to start doing media. So you're underprepared in a way, but I probably definitely battled early days, and I had to go and seek a bit of, I suppose, a bit of help just in terms of calm my nerves. It just came out that my nerves were sort of impacting my speech, and then you start overthinking it. But once I got that under control and did a lot of sort of work on it, I actually really enjoy it now. It's sort of, on the Brownlow night, it's, when you get up there and speak and you look back on it, it's sort of, I suppose a bit of reward for hard work in terms of, you know, actually got up there on the night and actually spoke all right.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, nailed it.
If that was 5 or 6 years ago, boys, I'd have been sculling my champagne.
I can't believe that you can't talk. You're talking so well now. Yeah. You nailed it Sunday night. I just can't believe you were actually in that position. But I need to put something to bed because a lot of people have been asking, they must have known. You must have known you're going to win it. You come back from overseas and you had your mum next to you. But I believe that wasn't your mum.
Nah, that was Harry McKay's mum.
Oh, it was Harry. Everyone's going, his mum's there as well.
Yeah, so she probably started. She was lucky she was there, actually, because about halfway through the count, we had a pretty fun table and we were definitely on our way. And round one, I thought I was a lock for the three votes. I only got one. So I was like, all right, boys, I think I'm out of this already. And then we had a few. And then we got about halfway through the count. And Tracy McKay, Harry's mum, said, all right, time to have a few waters here, I reckon. And then I reckon about 4 rounds to go, I scaled about 3 in a minute as a chance. So, she's probably the one to take the credit for the speech.
Yeah, the chaperone, Harry McKay's mum.
Hate to know how many media interviews you've done, so we really appreciate your time. What's next, Paddy? What are your next sort of 3-4 weeks hold?
Yeah, well, this week's obviously pretty busy now, so but it's sort of one of those ones. You lap it up and you can't play the grand final, you might as well make the most of it. So,
exactly.
Now I'll hang around Melbourne for the next 2 weeks, and then I'm actually heading off to America with a few schoolmates back home. So I had a family trip with my partner and my family to Europe just recently. That was more of a spontaneous one. I had a cousin's wedding, but when we got knocked out, I thought I'd get out of here for a bit. But I've got a few of my best mates from school. We're doing a month in America. So it'd be nice to get out and, get out of the Melbourne bubble for a bit and have a bit of fun.
Thanks very much for joining us, Paddy. We really appreciate it. Obviously, a busy schedule since you winning on Sunday night. So we really appreciate it, mate.
Nice. Appreciate it, guys. Jeez. Thanks, heaps.
Well done, thank Paddy. You.
Paddy Cripps.
Legend.
This is the Rush Hour.
Great bloke.
60 seconds on the clock, $1,000 up for grabs. 10 questions stand between you and the cash.
I need more cash.
It's the Rush Hour's $1,000 minute.
Wade from Clovelly Park, welcome to this global Rush Hour. How are you, mate?
Yeah. Good, mate. So?
That's the boy. Now, you're an AFL supporter of who?
Adelaide Crows.
Oh. Favourite player?
At the moment, probably Ben Keys.
Oh, Jars. Mm. Number two, Jars.
Yes.
And went well in the Brownlow.
Did he?
Yes.
Was leading after round five,
was
Jars.
Was he? Yeah. How was his haircut? What did he look like?
It was a long rubbish.
What would you call it?
Flick back?
Bike helmet.
Flick back. like he's been just in the back of the ute driving about 120 k's an hour for an hour. Just all sweep back.
All right, Wade, you got 10 questions. There's 60 seconds on the clock. You got a pass. You can use it if you need it, and we'll come back if we've got time.
You don't just have one pass. You made it sound like he only has one pass.
Okay.
You can pass whenever you need.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we'll come back to it.
What a whole pass.
I've got – I'll always take your first answer, and if you get the first three Norton three questions, I'll shut it down. All right, Wado?
Wish I had.
What are we going to
do? Okay.
How many old passes have we got here?
Okay. Are we ready? Are we ready, team?
Apparently. I'm ready to start the clock.
Are we ready? 10. Greg, yes. You're listening. Right.
Okay.
Play.
In tennis, what is a missed serve called?
Pass.
Who is the AFL Grand Finals Best on Ground medal named after?
Pass.
In what sport did the Miracle on Ice take place?
Ice hockey.
What were the Sydney Swans called before they relocated to Sydney?
Pass.
Which player this weekend breaks the record for most VFL AFL finals played?
Say that again.
Which player breaks the record for the most VFL AFL finals?
Joel Selwood.
How many kilometres in the City to Bay Fun Run?
15.
Which wood are cricket bats traditionally made of?
Pass.
Who is Geelong's last premiership captain?
Joel Selwood.
Since 96, which AFL team has qualified for the most grand finals?
Sydney.
Friday's AFL Grand Final Parade will go down which river in Melbourne?
Pass.
In tennis.
Jeepers.
What a passes there, Wade.
We had a
well,
lot.
We did say pass.
Yeah, you so can, you encouraged him.
You said you can use it for everyone.
You know, so you've got to remember who the CIC is.
Gee, I think you sold him. He's talking about Wade. Sold, him up the river.
Of Clovelly. Well,
that was in there as well.
Of Clovelly Park. Let's check your score, please, G.
One, two, three, correct.
Oh,
dear.
Not great. But wait, just for having a go, we're going to give you an Austral Meats Grand Final Barbecue Meat Pack for quality meat at quality prices. Shop direct and save the Austral Meat Market. They're on Main North Road at Jepps Cross and open 7 days.
Great people out there.
Thank you.
Take care, Wade. Thanks for your time, mate. All the best, buddy.
Cheers, mate.
Well done, mate. All right, number one, please, Greg.
Yeah, in tennis, a missed serve is called a fault.
That's it,
Gregory.
Of course,
isn't it, Byrne?
Byrne, number two, ace, please.
Nothing else, yeah.
No,
if you miss,
ace.
Yeah.
Question two, the AFL Grand Finals best on ground is named after Norm Smith, the
is
Norm
Nathan
Smith medal.
Is Nathan Buckley going to present that medal on Saturday?
Not sure. He did win one in a losing Grand Final.
I think he is. Number four, please, Byrne.
Number four, South Melbourne. Originally, before Sydney Swans, before they were relocated. That's why they got so much support in Melbourne, Sydney.
It's going to be good. Play number well, six, please, Byrne.
Six is City to Bay is 12 kilometres, not 15.
You can do three or six or 12.
Number seven, please, 12. Greg.
Yeah, cricket bats are made out of willow.
Willow.
English willow?
Mr. Yes.
Cashmere. Is it really? Okay, number eight,
not
please,
cashmere.
Byrne.
Come on.
Jars is made out of that.
Byrne.
What question, sorry,
number
Jars?
Eight, I said.
Hey.
Apologies.
Jeez, you got angry. Your meter went from zero to 100.
I need to address an incident in this room. Oh. That's why I'm getting a bit edgy up next.
Cameron Ling was the last Geelong Premiership captain. What year, Jars? And that meter just went from really angry to laughing really quick
just
as well.
Have a guess.
Have a guess.
Well, I don't know, but
have
just
a guess.
Give me a year. 2007.
No. 2011.
Thank you, Byrne. And number 10, please, Byrne.
The Yarra River is in Melbourne.
This is farcical. This is farcical going down. polluted Yarra River. To wait to the two teams.
Are we going
to
go
save
along?
Save the boat
Byrne?
Sinks.
Are
you going?
Actually,
to
I didn't even realise that was happening.
Yeah, it is.
They're in the river. I
they're in
they're
the
going
river.
Along
it's
the
polluted.
River.
It's filthy. There's bodies. There could be anything.
Jars, you know what's
dead
good?
Bodies, is there?
What, you drink Byrne? A bit of that. It's good for you.
No.
Good for your gut.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get sick from that, loss. You just get better.
Now, you played 36 holes of golf on Sunday, didn't you, Gregory?
I didn't.
Blew it.
Yes, I
on
did,
Sunday.
Andrew Newton.
Now, last week, you spoke about that you're going to do a lot of chores on Saturday.
Mm. Oh, no.
Right, because you let your wife down, Catherine, who basically is the heart and soul of the Blewett household.
Yeah, she wears
don't
the pants.
Don't drop your lip and your hairy bloody
if
face.
If there's any noises at the Blewett, if there's any noises at the Blewett household, Catherine goes to investigate because Greg's...
That's
in the fetal position.
You go and check. I send Sam.
Now, this is what you said last week regarding you playing golf on Sunday. G?
Hey, babe, what's happening this weekend?
Don't know. Just
well,
usual.
Yeah.
I think
well, instead of... So Saturday, I'm not going to play golf Saturday because I've got something on Sunday. I want to play golf Sunday instead. Is that all right?
Is this a joke?
No, I'm just going to swap the days. So instead of playing Saturday, I'll play Sunday. But the only thing is Sunday, it's a proper golf event and it's 36 holes.
36 holes. So clearly you knew. So hang on.
Well, I'm asking.
Okay. All right. So golf on Sunday. Cool.
So that's a yes?
Oh, do I have a choice?
No, I can I can play Saturday instead. I'll can the event.
No, do Sunday. Do Sunday. And I'll be putting you to good use Saturday. You can clean the barbecue, mow the lawns. Yeah, you'll be working around. I've got some jobs for you, Joylene.
All right, long as I'm free for the footy later on Saturday.
Oh, bye. We'll talk about that another time.
Love you, baby.
All right, so old news.
She wasn't
this
happy
old
with
news.
That.
Roy,
right.
I'm glad I heard that again.
Thanks, Byrne.
Yeah.
Right. Beautiful Catherine.
Yeah.
Right.
I
now,
who wears the pants?
You feel
PM,
for Catherine.
Yeah.
8:53 p.m. Saturday night. Jars, I can confirm that only few jobs were completed by cricket teeth.
Cricket teeth.
Cricket teeth.
He managed to achieve wiping down the barbecue hood 12 seconds worth and also left streak marks and smears.
No. Smears! No! You can't leave smears
seconds.
On it.
That's a disgrace. 12
minutes.
And barbecue is the closest thing to his chest.
It's his heart.
I spent some good... That was good elbow grease on that.
Also, he vacuumed. Also, he vacuumed
to his chest.
Also, he vacuumed one rug. After close inspection, I could see that there were still small crumbs. This is not acceptable.
Yep.
Essentially, he failed this task.
Yes.
He was also unable to attend the dog poo or the dog nuggets as it was raining.
Dog nuggets.
And the nuggets were too soft to collect. Oh. And the wasp net. What about the nest? The wasp net.
Oh, nest.
Nest. Yes, nest.
There's a nest in there.
Was not happening because of the rain. Apparently not suitable for the hose. To add to this, Jars, he managed to swindle his way into me getting him a gourmet brekkie this morning. Poached eggs, he had avo, he had ham, halloumi, tomato, even charred the bread on the barbecue.
Jesus.
Cricket lips,
freshly clean
cricket
barbecue.
Lips, wife Smears got stitched up badly today. That's officially the last time I agreed to 36 holes.
Yeah.
Mrs. Cricket Teeth. And there you are. Smashing down her beautiful breakfast she made for you.
She made that for you.
She made that for you, and you did stuff all on Saturday as your chores, and yet you went out and waltzed around 36 bloody holes with all your buddies and six gloves.
No, he doesn't have any. He got lots of gloves,
and
don't get me wrong.
He can't keep getting away with this nonsense, Jars. Oh, it's outrageous.
Yeah.
And that was another text message I received from your lovely wife. You know, mate.
You know what? I'll be seeing my legal team about
you've
this.
You've got to change who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, your family
I don't
come
think
first.
You can.
You're not.
You're addicted to golf. You need help.
What do they say?
You have an addiction like a cocaine addiction. Catherine, you need help.
What's cheaper? And what's healthier? Now, listen. What Catherine fails, she just tells you what you want to know. She doesn't tell you all about the behind the scenes stuff that I do.
We don't
she didn't
need
tell
to
you
know
about that.
I
vacuumed our bedroom. I vacuumed upstairs as well.
No, you
listen
did.
To you, G. You want a medal
listen to you, G. Oh, about time you did something up there.
Listen, are you getting involved?
Are you going to send an invoice for marriage counselling?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
You are doing
and
a good
ask
job.
Me if she's got
bring
a,
it
if
on.
There's a spot for her and her two boys at my establishment.
No, where do I sign up? Yeah,
welcome back to the 5 o'clock hour of your rush hour. I've got Bernie Vince, Greg Blewett, I've got Emma G, and we've got you, the clan, looking after us for this next hour. We had a bit of fun from 4 to 5. Now, the AFL says that the 19th team, which will be Tasmania, mm-hmm. is not far away from being signed off. But there is a slight hurdle.
Yeah, what's that? Slight hurdle of
it's
how much?
It's a $750 million stadium with a roof on it.
I would say that's a significant hurdle.
Well, they've got half of it, haven't they, Jars?
Hey?
They've got half of it.
They have. They've got
from 300, the state government?
Yeah, they have, Gregory.
What about federal?
They haven't been involved and been asked at this stage, but the president's caught up yesterday with Gil McLaughlin. He presented the proposal for the... for the new license, so watch this space.
It would be great for Tassie. They are passionate about their sport down there, and they don't have many teams. They just had got an NBL team. They played in the final, actually.
Yeah, they did.
But just like they didn't win, but they got around that team.
Yeah. So you're looking at 2027.
Yeah, and
if
it's a
all
while
goes
away.
Well, that the Tasmanian team will be in the AFL competition.
And now they've locked the TV rights away. That's guaranteed income for a long time. Yeah. So they can forecast now. Yeah. Before that, they didn't have the guarantee. Obviously, they knew it was going to come in, but not at what level. Now they've got the money. I feel like they need to make that happen.
I think it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yep. And so the next question, who's the 20th team then? Because you can't have a 19.
Why not? Don't have a buy round where there's... six teams having a bye.
Right.
Just have a bye, it used to be.
But I think it's going to be a 20-team comp.
And then bring it back to 19. If there's – how many teams would that be? 19, so there'll be 18 teams. I have an 18-team ground season.
Competition, yeah. But TV, they love – anyway.
State of Origin, Jars. Have that in the middle of the season.
Actually, we'll talk about up next about a magic round that the AFL are looking at. Gil McLaughlin wants to pinch it or take it off from the NRL, who do it very well in their calendar.
I don't think he wants to pinch it. He wants to emulate it.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
It's their idea.
Yeah, but he's not going to steal it and say you can't have
everyone
it.
Everyone plagiarises our show.
Plagiarise, there it is.
To the inch of its life. Now, Greg.
Spell plagiarise,
Buddy
Jones.
Franklin.
Yes, signed for another year.
Well.
So that's great news.
Fantastic news.
So
a lot of rumours going around a little while ago. Where he was going to go, remember?
He wasn't happy with those rumours either.
No.
He was disturbed by
those
rumours.
He might have started them.
So that's great. And that'll be his last year, won't it, next year?
Yeah, farewell,
so he did say, all he wrote in the statement was crossed to Buddy Franklin, and all he wrote was one more.
Oh, I love that.
That was in double meaning, what, I think, this week say, yeah, and next year.
Yeah. One more. What would I say? Yeah, anyway.
Nah, Jazz, what if he wins this say, Saturday? What if they win this Saturday, the Swans? That would be a good way to go out.
Nah,
another year, another 600.
Why not win another one?
650.
You know, you're greedy. You win premierships, you win one, you want more.
What would have you said? Six more. From the fridge.
Hey, just quickly, too, well done to Shirley Nitschke, who today was named the Australian women's coach for the Australian cricket team. So well done to Shelley. Nice. 4 years she gets.
Fantastic.
For the next four years. SA girl.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good.
Took over from Matty Mott, who's now coaching England's white ball cricket. But that's a great appointment. Well done to Shelley.
Okay. All right, up next, we're going to have a bit of a chat about Gil McLaughlin's idea that we may have a magic round.
The magic.
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 Abracadabra.
Magic, magic.
Ooh.
Harvey loves magic. He just can't do it.
Now, our game evolves by the minute, by the hour, by the day, by the week, by the year. It doesn't stop.
Yeah.
All right? And I love ideas. I'm an ideas man. Every now and then you go, nah, put a line through it. But every now and then you go, tick it off. Tick this idea off. And Gil McLaughlin, the CEO, the outgoing CEO, has done I think he's done a very, very good job.
He has.
Today on radio in Melbourne, said this about a possible magic round for season 2023. Have a listen.
Now we've got multiple states interested in doing it, and it got to the point where three states say, yeah, we'll do it. We'd love to have all nine games in this market. You know, the members in each state still get their 11 home games, and it's an additional one, and we can come together as an industry in whatever state would be, it'd have a different logic.
All games for the round to be played at a single stadium. Nine games to be played at Adelaide Oval next year.
Oh, not just in the same state, at the same stadium.
Yes, sir.
So what?
Yes, sir. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, carnival atmosphere, bring the circus in town. You have this
elephants?
Shitty vibing. It'd be it would be sensational. Two games on Friday night. This is what I'd like to see. Four games on Saturday, right? Saturday and then Saturday night, and three games on the Sunday. All in our beautiful city.
But what's it going to replace, Jars? Or are they adding around?
They're adding around, Gregory. And clubs will benefit financially.
No, that's a terrible idea, Jars.
What do you mean?
The players, you speak to guys like Patrick Dangerfield, they complain about how hard the game is.
He's hardly played this year, Paddy Dangerfield.
There's already two bye. What, they're going to chuck in another bye because they've got to play another round?
Oh, I'm with Blue.
Round. Oh, come on. Promote the game of football.
It'll be great
for our state to have nine AFL teams locked in Adelaide for 3 days. It'll be sensational.
You want to promote it? Have a State of Origin round, Jars. That way, there's four teams. Two obviously play each other. It'll be South Australia, WA, Victoria, and the Allies. Do that in the middle of the season if you want to promote the game and get it to some other states. Otherwise, it's just one state. Do that.
You know what, Jars? I read this. The additional round could add as much as $1 million to each club's coffers.
There you go, Greg. The clubs would love that.
The AFL hasn't got enough money. Oh,
the AFL will be making plenty.
And that's great for the fans. And you imagine what
So
what it would do for our state.
Play two extra rounds and put $2 million on each club. When's it going to stop,
Jazz?
All our hotels will be booked out. Everything will be booked out. The state will be thriving for 3 days.
Gold Coast play the Giants here. How many are going to go to that?
Why not?
Not me.
Followed, I'd go and watch it.
Followed by Fremantle and North Melbourne.
No, but they'll make sure that the fixture would be games. There'd be a showdown on Saturday night here.
Why waste the showdown in that round?
Why not? It'd be full house. Adelaide Oval will be thriving and pumping.
What if we get 20 mils of rain that day?
Here we go. And we get Mr. Negativity. It's going to rain,
Mr. Glass half full.
Honestly, 1-3-3-5-3.
Let's play 27 rounds.
Should the AFL have the miracle or magic round?
Oh, yeah. Miracle magic round.
You can call it that if you want. Yeah.
Bring your cards. Bring your rabbits so they can disappear.
Are you with me or you're with Byrne and Gregory? They don't like the idea. We've pinched the idea off the NRL and that is going gangbusters.
Oh, yeah.
Let's just be a real conservative competition.
Let's get lions jumping through hoops and bloody horses balancing on beams and blokes doing backflips off trampolines. Let's make it a bloody absolute
circus. Bring the circus to town.
I tell you what, we don't want it here. Have it in Perth.
Let's make Jars disappear.
1-3-3-5-3. Should the AFL have a magic round and we can have it here at Adelaide Oval next year? The AFL is looking at an extra magic round for season 2023. This is the concept from the NRL, which they have their magic round. Uh-huh. All nine games played in one state over a three-day period, which one is venue. Fantastic. One venue. I love it. I love the idea and the concept. Let's go to the phones because they're very busy at the moment, Greg.
Yep, let's go to Paul from Craigmore. G'day, Paul. Tell me, Jars is talking absolute baloney, please.
Oh, I agree with you. I think that at the end of the day, South Australians do support their football a lot, but nine games at Adelaide Oval, everybody would be pressured to be there. In case you haven't noticed, prices are rising, petrol prices are going to be going up, interest rates have gone. There's just not the disposable income for the South Australian population to pour out and spend that much money on nine games of football, 50,000 people per game, you're just not going to get
but
it.
Paul, I think you'll get a lot of supporters from the respective clubs coming over, and it's great for our economy, South Australian economy. All the hotels will be booked out.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Okay. I'll try it out, see how you go, I don't think it'll be a success.
Yeah, good on you, mate. Paul from Edinburgh. G'day, Paul.
G'day, Paul. From Edinburgh.
Paul. I just said that.
Hey, guys, how you going?
Good, Paul.
Yeah, look, I actually don't know much about AFL. I'm from Queensland, but I would definitely go along. I'm a rugby league follower, and it's the best thing that ever happened to rugby league was the Magic Round. So, you know, you pay a few hundred bucks and you get to go and watch footy all weekend. It's like a carnival, you know. So, yeah, it's magic.
It. Paul, have they added a round or have they replaced it?
They've replaced a round there. Yeah. So, It's fantastic for Brisbane. So, people come from all over the country. They fly in there, they stay for the weekend, and they go and watch a whole bunch of footy matches. You don't have to watch them all. You can cherry pick what you want. Yeah. But
Do they have big matchups, Paul? Like, do they have the big teams?
Yeah, they do.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go, Burns.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They put the ones together that people want to see and
big rivalries.
Yeah, I mean, they don't make too many smart decisions in the rugby league.
Good on you, Paul. Great call, mate. Thank you.
See, they replaced a round. They didn't add a round. My whole argument. Let's go to Ryan from Dudley Park. G'day, Ryan. What do you think about this idea?
Yeah, well, I think it's a good idea, but I think instead of adding a round, it should be round 22, and it should be all at the MCG. The interstate teams get their 11 home games throughout the year, and then round 22... they all go Thursday to Monday at the MCG before the bye round. That way the interstate teams stop being disadvantaged when it comes to finals and not having enough MCG games.
Yeah, well, Brisbane, look at Brisbane. They only play a couple there and Adelaide. Similar with all interstate teams. They don't get to play much of the MCG. And that's why they have bad records there. Thanks for your call, Ryan. Let's go to Andy from Lewiston. What do you think?
Nah, look, honestly, I think it's a great concept for rugby, but they only go over two states.
Yeah.
Possibly with Melbourne Storm into three states. But when you're going across five states, I just can't see the concept working.
Too hard.
Thanks, Andy.
Logistically. Thanks, Andy.
Yep.
Logistically, I just don't think you'd get the...
Gil's going to look at it.
Fascination of it.
They're going to look at it. I'm telling you now. I think it'll be sensational.
So the first one's the motive? In Brisbane.
Pardon?
First one's at the Gabba. Yeah. How many are you going to get going to the Gabba?
Yeah, but once you know your club's playing on a Friday night at the Gabba, so you're going to go, you're going to book your ticket. Say Collingwood v Brisbane on a Friday night. Collingwood supporters will go in droves. Crows playing Port Adelaide in a showdown at the MCG or at the Gabba. The Crows, they would be great, but I want them here because it's good for our economy.
I don't think they'd waste a game like that.
Phones were very, very busy. Thanks for ringing through, but I think they like my idea.
No, they don't.
Our next guest is looking for us to put our buns on our bikes. To tell us more, please welcome to Triple M's Rush Hour, Kevin O'Keefe.
Yeah, thanks for joining the Rush Hour, Kevin. How are you?
Very well.
That's good. And those that don't know Kevin O'Keefe was a Fitzroy player involved in an accidental collision with North Adelaide and Footscray's Neil Saxey in 1975 that left Saxey a quadriplegic. Now, since then, Saxey has established the Neil Saxey Foundation that raises funds.
He's done a lot of good work
for research and treatment of spinal cord injury. And we all know someone affected by that. Yeah. And Saxey sadly passed away in 2020, but a good friend of his and who's joining joining us now is Kevin. So welcome, Kevin. And you initiated Project Discovery Cycling Tour to raise funds for the Neil Saxey Centre. Tell us a little bit about that and where you're heading this year.
Well, in 2011, I was in France for the tour, which Cadel Evans won.
Oh, yeah. Mm, nice.
And my brother, I was with a crew of five having a ride around and watched a couple of days of racing. And then my brother spoke to me before we went and said Neil was doing a ride from Adelaide to Melbourne. And anyway, because I was over there, I didn't worry too much about it. But then when I got back, I sent a message off and Neil come back to me in about a month. And from there, he said, well, after their ride from Adelaide to Melbourne, then he got a management team on board.
Yep.
And then in 2016, he organised to have the first Project Discovery ride. That was for the South Australian Health and Medical Research Institute, better known as SHEMRI. And from then, for the next 4 years, we had a team. I'd brought a team over and mixed with the South Australians. And I think mostly each year we raised about 100,000. So in the first 4 years, we raised about 400,000. But over the time, we become very close, Neil and Janine and our family. And, that's how it all started. And each year we just continued on, which was really good.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, tell us about tour number 7. Tell us about how many people or cyclists are on this tour. And you've got a couple of spots left. Is that right?
There's 5 riders they're looking to fill gaps in. And it's project number 7. And it's from Adelaide to York Peninsula.
Ooh.
And it's on November 3 to the 5th.
God's country. And, there, Kev.
If we can round up 5 riders, that'd be fantastic for the project.
Yep. So there's 5 more spots. Registration is around $800. And the riders each raise around $3,000 each. So this all goes...
And that all goes to SHEMRI.
Yep. Oh, nice. You know, so that's good.
And also just on that, SHEMRI is just so impressive. Each time we've been over there, then Dr. Ryan Doig, who's the research head of spinal cord.
Yep.
He's done the ride a few times and he's just so impressive. And what they've achieved and where they're heading, you know, we need to raise as much as we can. And that's where Neil was just fantastic in that cause.
He was a great man, wasn't he, Neil? And I had a bit to do with him over the journey, and just a heart and soul, and just a beautiful soul. And you know, he put his own injury before anyone else, because end of the day, he's doing this, you guys are doing this to raise very important funds to find a cure for spinal cord injuries, Kevin.
That's right. And, like, he had other projects he worked on also. But there was never any time, you know, that he hasn't, you know, just been dedicated to the cause, you know. And then, like, the rock behind him was Janine.
Yeah,
you know,
lovely wife.
She's just been magnificent.
Yeah. Project Discovery number 7, though, the Peloton, as you said, Peloton. On the 3rd of November, Thursday that is, will meet for an early breakfast at the Arkabar Hotel, boys.
Yeah,
that's correct.
They will then get on a bus and go to Clare with bikes. And we'll go from Clare to Wallaroo on day 1.
Yes, Ben.
Stay the night. Nice. Wallaroo the next day, up north of York Peninsula. Big loop up
your
and back
turn,
around.
Ben.
About 100 k's a day it is.
Brutal.
And then back to Wallaroo, stay the night.
Brutal.
The next day, on the third day, they'll head south and do a bit of a loop around down towards my way, around Ardrossan, Sam Jacobs area as well, and then back to Wallaroo and bus back on day 3.
Okay.
So what a fantastic initiative this is. If you're keen to ride and you're listening to this, get on to www.mycause.com.au/events/Project Discovery Classic. Get together, get a couple of your mates, and it's going to be a challenge because it's about 100 k's a day.
Yep.
Tough ride, but it's for a great cause. So if you're listening, get onto that website, www.mycause.com.au/events/Project Discovery. Kevin O'Keefe, thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome. And it's a very well organised ride. You know, it's fantastic management, and it's good humour and all levels of riders. So get on board. That'd awesome. Be fantastic.
Good no, on you, good stuff. Kevin.
Cheers. Thanks for joining right us.
Thank
and,
you.
And all that obviously includes your accommodation, yeah. your food, the you got police and ambulance on hand. There's yeah. You get a cycling jersey.
Daily laundry service.
Daily mm-hmm. laundry.
I'll chuck some jocks in myself.
I'll bring some extras. great initiative. Get on that website, get a crew together and join up.
Yeah, if you'd like to take part in Project Discovery for spinal cord injury and ride from Adelaide to Yorks on the 3rd to the 5th of November, you can sign up or donate at mycause.com.au or you could just search Project Discovery 7.
Nice. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Bernie Fitz's super exciting, ultra mega important, interesting, bizarre final fact.
Tuesday facts time, I love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Been a good show. And well done with Paddy Cripps too.
It was good. I thought your questions were good, Jazz. Yeah. Research well.
Very insightful.
Execution brilliant.
And try and support Kevin O'Keefe with the bike ride, the charity bike ride for the great Neil Saxon.
Yes, that's a reminder. If you are into your bike riding, get a group of mates together and jump on there because the money goes to a great
good
cause.
Boy. Well done, Bernie.
September 20 today.
Yeah, what a day.
It's a big day. It's a big day for different reasons. Yeah. I'll get into that maybe a bit later in the week.
Yeah, we will.
But September 20. But there's not much else around on September 20.
What?
It's a bit of a...
A dull day?
Not a dull day, Jazz. I don't like to go down that path. Every day is a beautiful day. Like you described today as a beautiful day. And it was hosing down outside.
A bit of rain, but
I'm glad I come up with hosing late. I was going with something else right until the last bit.
That's the boy.
But anyway, let's get it started. On this day, 1969... Have you heard of a band called the Archies?
No.
Well, they had the number one UK song on this day in 1969, and I actually know this song.
You are my candy girl, and you got me wanting
Did they all have the bowl cuts?
Actually, you might be onto something there.
I think you're right.
I didn't watch the film clearly.
Yeah. Well done. Good one.
Look, good
1969.
Start. 69. You were three, Jazz.
And emerging.
How would have you been as a three-year-old? Nah, like, Harvey is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Imagine me? You and Darren as a one-year-old under you.
I was emerging.
emerging tool.
Going through my mind, which bike can I steal from a neighbour's house?
Yeah, but you already had all the neighbour's bikes. You're like, well, I need another one. Hey, on this day, 1980, Ozzy Osbourne, are we a fan of him?
Jazz,
talk like
Black
Ozzy
Sabbath.
For a bit.
<He's>...
Gleeso interviewed him on Triple M Nights. We had to beep out every third word.
Do I sound like him?
No.
Sharon, I smell coffee.
Sharon. Where's Sharon?
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I can't drive, Sharon.
I saw some photos of him when he was younger and looked nothing like him when he looked
younger. But the drugs took its toll.
Yeah, right. Whatever he's taken.
What's Ozzy Osbourne doing?
Lived a life.
I've got to get back to why I actually mentioned him. Sharon! Ozzy Osbourne released his first ever solo in 1980. Here it is.
I'm going up the rails on a crazy train.
My cousin Brenty Jarman will love this song.
Yeah. And here's the first one. I'm going off the rails. And that's why he might have changed his look. on this day. Where's Sharon? Sharon!
Come on, Ozzy. Greg, you could be Sharon.
Where my cuppa, Sharon?
He doesn't say cuppa. You don't sound like him.
Well, you do it.
Gee, you do Ozzy good.
Constipated
80-year-old. That's what he sounds like.
That's Sharon.
You sound like a constipated goat.
Oh, I thought I was doing Ozzy.
No, you were doing. I thought you were doing Ozzy. Anyway, the clock's frozen, so it's taking a lot of time.
Wrap it up.
Sharon. Now, on this day, 1997.
Yes, Ben.
Elton John started a 6-week run at number one, but with two different songs.
Yeah.
Guess them. 1997.
Oh,
that was Diana when she died.
That is one. Candle in the Wind. And the other one? Play the other one, G. You guess it.
Oh, this is so beautiful.
Something about the way you look tonight.
Yes. Classic wedding song.
It's whose wedding song?
Classic wedding song.
It interchanged with this song that took over as number one in that 6 week period.
You lift your life like a candle in the wind.
Everybody thought that he was going to sing at the Queen's funeral last night.
Should have.
No, it was
turn it up, Jamie. See you tomorrow, Clan. Go, Elton.
Like to love you, but I was just
you're butchering it.
Go burn down long before. Legend never will.